Yo, this is Bob Dobbs, discarnate leader of the Canadian Church of the Subgenius. I have been asked to make an address to Canadians on this, the first day of 1991. Mr. and Mrs. Mulroney, listen up. As a result of this broadcast, you will be forced to vacate 24 Sussex Drive by September 1991. How could this happen, you ask? Well, let me elaborate. The Canadian subgenius is perhaps the most interesting subgenius on this planet, but the Canadian pink is certainly the dullest, the dumbest, and the most arrogant pink in the world today. However, as my reign as the true legislator of our time permeates the Canadian climate over the next 2 years, even the Canadian pink will be forced to adapt. Because CBC has made the mistake of broadcasting me today, the homeopathic effects will be irreversible. The symptoms will first appear as an overwhelming disgust with Mr. Mulroney's GST and other taxation policies. Over the next 6 months, the probability of a taxpayer's revolt against first property taxes, then personal taxes, will be very high. Why? Because there is a growing belief among Canadian pinks that Ottawa is not listening, that they are being treated as fools, and that they are being lied to. The GST shock will mean 20 times the previous price for most products. It will bring interest rates to 14.5% by May or June 1991. 7 to 8.5% inflation across the second and third quarters of 1991. Unemployment will rise to between 12 and 14%. The Canadian dollar will go down in value to the 75 to 80 cent mark against the U.S. dollar. But even this will not solve Canada's trade problem. These GST surprises from the local grocery checkout counter to the national level will cause much unrest as the classic signs of a depression become more immediate. So much so, miracle of miracles, the Canadian pink will move. Get off its butt. And you, Mr. Mulroney, will be faced with numerous busloads of these creatures arriving at your doorstep in Ottawa. Your days will be numbered. And you will not survive a vote of confidence in mid-1991. Yes, even your loyal MPs will break rank. And your government, praise me, will collapse. Believe it or not, this will happen. Then, a considerably fractionalized coalition government will be formed with representatives from the NDP, the Liberals, the Conservatives, the Reform Party, and the Quebec Parliament around the nominal figurehead of Jean Chrétien. Can you, Mila, see this coming? You know it is, and you will atone. Meanwhile, my fellow subgeniuses will be basking in the slack, ignoring the headlines, fully prepared as that which must come to pass comes to pass. Having purchased a good sweater in anticipation of our freezing cold winter, the subgenius will be ready as the shooting begins in the Persian Gulf during the third week of January 1991. And over 10 million East Europeans and Russians flood into Western Europe. And local wars and nationalism spring up around the globe as old scores are settled. You will be tempted to become very paranoid. But I have anticipated all this, and under my tetratic guidance, the world will move away from a nuclear war remarkably, and the subgeniuses will have their day in court. Meanwhile, back in Canada, by 1992, there will be a completely new landscape. Canada will have broken up into four regions. The strongest bloc, we could call Pacifica, and will consist of Oregon, the state of Washington, British Columbia, the Yukon, Alaska, and Alberta. Quebec will have its own currency, and bankruptcies will have increased 40% in Ontario by 1992. However, the subgenius will be celebrating because my predictions and projections will have been the most accurate autopsy, and as a result, the Canadian pink will be forced to acknowledge my hegemony in slack and will agree to back off. In 1993, a new type of leader, following Bob's style, will appear across the globe, one who will lead rather than dictate. In 1994, it will be proven that the excess have landed. And by 1995, a kind of equilibrium will be established, and the most astounding advances in knowledge and technology will begin to rapidly manifest thanks to cold fusion and injections of homeopathic remedies into acupuncture points, both of which are already here and have been replicated. Perhaps by then, Brian, you and Mila will have been forgiven. But that's another day. For now, you have to face the music. Two postscripts. One, Mordecai Richler will repent for having written a disrespectful article on Mae Brussel and Sherman Smolnik for Playboy magazine in 1975. And two, there will be constructed this year an outboard memory box with no moving parts, stuffed with 1 gigabyte. That's 1 billion bytes of flash memory connected to a 32-bit channel into the memory slot that will not lose data when the power is turned off. And this will be available from Compaq or IBM by the end of 1991. And so, this is Bob Dobbs declaring to my fellow slackmasters, Thank you very much, and good luck.
Isn't it amazing what the Globe and Mail leave out in their year-end roundup? That was J.R. Bob Dobbs of the Church of the Subgenius, and you're listening to Brave New Waves on CBC Stereo, the CBC Stereo Network, formerly a tool of the left-wing counter-capitalist movement, but now a mere cog in the homeopathic revolution of the Church of the Subgenius. Praise Bob. Now more music from Big Pink.
I've seen you looking so bad, my pretty one. You tell me that your super fine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there. No. Yeah.
The man the Grapes of Wrath called the Einstein of rock and roll, Paul McCartney and Wings in 1985 from the Band on the Run LP, which came out in 73. This is recorded in Africa. And just before the band was slated to leave London, the entire band decided they would not get on the plane to Africa. They didn't want to leave the comfort of civilized London, McCartney remarked. And so Paul McCartney, Linda, and partner Denny Lane play almost every instrument after their previously hired musicians defected. And apparently at some party, Keith Moon complimented McCartney on his choice for a drummer for Band on the Run, and McCartney said it was him. The new LP, the live LP from Paul McCartney, Tripping the Live Fantastic, is kind of awful. Wings and Things might have been a better title for that LP. Before that, we heard Steely Dan, Any Major Dude Will Tell You, from Pretzel Logic, which came out in 73. Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, who've denied rumors of a Steely Dan reunion. They did work together on Fagen's new LP, which is his first since 1982, but Becker says this is Donald's record. He wrote the songs, and he has great material. He maintains a greater harmonic and lyrical complexity than standard rhythm and blues. Well, quite a recommendation from Walter Becker, who produced also Ricky Lee Jones' latest LP. He was talking about the Steely Dan stuff, and he said, "We had to have great production sound in our previous LPs because, as Steely Dan, what we were singing about was so subversive that we knew no one would buy it unless we made it sound good." So that's how he explains the fact that Steely Dan records sound so sheeny and smooth. Oh my, in 1979, The Police, or 78, The Police's first LP, Outlandos de Amor, came out. And everyone thought this was the beginning of white reggae. Well, this is almost the end of white reggae.
And right, I heard a dark voice inside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
Try it, you'll like it.
10cc and Dreadlock Holiday from their greatest hits collection. This was from 78, really one of the last hits for 10cc, which was the team of Graham Gouldman and Eric Stewart, very strong songwriters. Gouldman wrote a lot of huge hits during the 60s as well, Lulu's, To Sir With Love, a few of the big ones for the Hollies. And the band once included the team of Kevin Godley and Lowell Cream, who these days share one of the top video companies in the world, Godley and Cream. We've come to that part of our New Year's Eve program, which is our Rebirth of Vinyl segment. Dave Ryan, Brave New Wave's Dreadlock Dave, found these 7-inch singles buried in the sand near a chemical plant just outside of Kingston, Jamaica. Skank along.
There's no tenderness like before.
She's a real good thing.
Leroy Sibbles with the Heptones and Ain't No Woman 7-inch single from 75, a version of a big hit for the Four Tops, who just a couple years earlier had left Motown for ABC Dunhill. What happened in the 1970s, a lot of Jamaican vocal groups and singers were trying to take advantage of reggae's resurgence thanks to Bob Marley in the U.S., and so cover version after cover version of R&B and soul hits was produced. Before that, from the same year, the Heptones with singer Johnny Osborne and You've Lost That Love and Feeling, big skank version of the Righteous Brothers 1964 hit. Heptones actually had a big international hit in 77 with something called Book of Rules. And Leroy Sibbles, their singer, later moved to Toronto to pursue a solo singing career. Johnny Osborne, another crooner from Kingston, was a star in Jamaica. But unlike Leroy Sibbles and Toots and Greg Isaacs or any of the Wailers, John Osborne was never able to establish any kind of a reputation outside of Jamaica. Here's a vocal trio in the style of the Heptones, Mighty Diamonds, who in the summer of 1976 went on tour with the Maytals after they signed with Virgin Records. And on their opening night in Boston, the Mighty Diamonds, the trio, strode out on stage clad in red and gold zoot suits and waving machetes. And the audience, who had never been through a Jamaican election, was frightened by the machetes, apparently, and the Diamonds were dropped from the tour the next day. This is a 7-inch single from 75 called Have Mercy.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Diamonds, Donald Sharp, Fitzroy Simpson, and Lloyd Ferguson from 1975. Africa is the name of that track. A band not as somberly political as Burning Spear, but as militant lyrically as any other Rastafarian reggae group. And in 1975, their songs were speaking directly to young Jamaicans who more and more were becoming outspoken in their support for the leftist policies of Prime Minister Michael Manley. Before that, we heard Have Mercy, 75, 7-inch single from the Diamonds. This next track from 1969 is one of the earliest examples of rude boy reggae. Rudies were young men anywhere from between 14 to 30 years old who migrated from Jamaica's rural regions to Kingston in search of work, or more often than not, worse. Worse meant that, well, there was a saying, there are only two ways for a rudy punk to get out of Kingston's shanty towns, via a hit single or via a police bullet. The Slicker Song is a precise portrait of a typical trench town rude boy. The tune was included on the hit soundtrack of The Harder They Come. Here is The Slicker and Johnny Too Bad.
Walking down the road with a pistol in your waist, Johnny Too Bad. Walking on the road with the ratchet in your waist, Johnny, you're too bad. Oh,
Brother United and I Know Me Officer 74, 7-inch single from this Rastafarian band. Now, the Rastafarians, although they are now staunch advocates of peace, in the early 1960s they were sometimes violent as they sought to remove all aspects of post-independence colonialism. They were harassed at every turn by the police and the army, who simply equated dreads with the drug trade and used the search and seizure laws to make life difficult. And this tune paints a typical Rasta police confrontation. I don't know who Love Brother United are or were, but the backing musicians were studio regulars of the day called Skin, Flesh, and Bones. And before that, we heard The Slicker and Johnny Too Bad, 7-inch single from 1969. The Black Prince of Reggae is Bob Marley. He was a founder of the original Wailers, a vocal trio featuring Peter Tosh and Bunny Wailer, Bunny Livingston. By 1970, they had hooked up with the Barrett Brothers, which is the rhythm section of Lee Perry's Upsetters, and they began to turn out hit after hit. And then in 1972 came, well, I suppose the ticket to commercial success when they were signed to Island Records by Chris Blackwell. Blackwell is the scion, by the way, of a wealthy Jamaican plantation family. By 1974, Peter Tosh and Bunny Wailer were gone, and that left Bob Marley alone to carry the group to international stardom and to become the shaman of reggae.